It's horrible. That's savage. It's like, and you hear it more and more. It's those horrible things, like they're not even human. Why? They're demon-possessed. Haters of good. People who actually hate someone who's righteous. Hate someone who's against homosexuality. Hate someone who says that you can't sleep with children. I mean, they actually have this totally despising you for your righteousness. That's already out there, folks. This stuff is already out there. Get it out of us completely, any of it. Betrayers. People who say one thing to your face and turn around and betray you. Turn around and turn you in. Turn around and have no conscience at all about being your friend one minute and then turning you in for money the next or whatever the thing is, but betraying you. Reckless. Hold a second. I have a whole teaching back there called reckless. 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 I know. You listen to the tape. But reckless. These kids driving fast while drinking, just not caring about lives. People just, it's just a wreck. It's actually a spirit. It's a spirit where you just don't care. You just go after that. It's a demon in you that just wants the thrill of the moment and doesn't even think about the consequences. It tries to set you up to ruin your life. It wants to set you up to bring an unbelievable amount of guilt and blame when something horrible would happen that the enemy set you up for. Gets you put in jail. Have you not be able to live with yourself anymore. God, especially young people, it's not worth going over the speed limit to show that your foot is big enough to reach the pedal. Who cares? It's not worth it. Because if the enemy has his way, he is setting you up to think you can get by with it and get by with it. I pray that God catches everybody really fast so that you don't keep thinking you're getting away with something. Every time you get away with something, I mean, sometimes God's mercy, he'll convict you and show you because he's so merciful. But sometimes if you walk out of a situation thinking, boy, I really got away with that, you were just walking. Satan is right in front of you just laughing. Yeah, you did. Come on. Yeah, you did. Until you're actually behind bars or until you kill somebody and have to live with that the rest of your life. Yes, there's mercy. Yes, God can take it. But why play with it? Why play with it? Why do you have to wait till you see it coming on your kids to hate that you walked in it? You know, the Bible says to hate evil. One of the things we do, and this is a pretty heavy-duty Tuesday. So if it's your first Tuesday night, I promise you it's not always this heavy. It's like, oh, my God, that's like a list from hell. Well, yeah. You just happen to time it from our list from hell night. Usually it's just like a one more not quite so heavy topic. I mean, it was a perfect love. That was like, whoa, yay. You know, it was like, whoa, love. Last week it's love yourself. Yay. This week it's like, all right, quit loving yourself. You bunch of perverts. God set us up for this one. I don't even like preaching this kind of stuff. But I more want to get it out of everybody's heart. Puffed up. Most of these are self-explanatory. Puffed up is, again, that high-minded. You think you're all that. Everything is great. Look at you. Vanity is a big one in this. Things that aren't important, you make as important. Now, here's a really, really, really big one. Really big. And we have a whole teaching on this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Right now in the church, there are people who are entering into true moves of God, such as the river prophetic move, but they really aren't going after God. They're going after the high. They just want that pleasure. This is the thing where you live for self-gratification. Pleasure is connected once again with the stuff we talked about tonight. It's like, what's going to make me feel good? What's going to make me feel good? And a lot of times, this thing will take over with no self-control. You can see how some of these really work together. Puffed up, no self-control, this lover of self. And next thing you know, you're really just fallen into this pattern. I just want to say, I really believe, and I know people, she thinks everything's a demon. I really do think there's a lot of demons. I mean, they cast out, what, 6,000 out of that one person in the Bible, and they didn't have internet back then. They didn't. They didn't have internet. They didn't have X-rated movies. They didn't have television that would be considered R-rated. They didn't have people cussing. Like, you see what I'm saying? If you could have 6,000 demons in you back then, think how many you could be toting around these days. I mean, I'm just saying. Look how bad the world is. So I'm just saying, just get a Holy Ghost vacuum cleaner. The cool thing is, they are, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the only way you can be born again, has paid for all this sin, has set you free from this. What you have to do is come in agreement with that, renounce evil, and make it go. Nothing leaves that you think is you. Nothing leaves that you make an excuse for. That's folly. Nothing leaves that you still like. People say, well, God, if you will help me to hate getting high, then I'll give up drugs. Okay, go to prison. How bad does it have to get? How much permission do you want to get Satan to destroy your life so you can hate what God already hates? How about hate it because he hates it and he's God? How about hate it because if he hates it, it's got to be pretty bad? How about hate it just because he died because of it? That's part of this lover of self and self-creator and self-God and pretender that, well, God, when you make me hate it. You know what, folks? I just want you to know, I hate everything that comes from the enemy. Everything. And if there's anything in my heart that the Holy Spirit starts to convict me of, but I'm scared to let go of something, then I spend time asking God to help me. I spend time saying, God, why is this so hard to let go of? God, show me where I've been hurt. Show me where I've been damaged. Holy Spirit, heal the broken places in me. God, I don't want to go through a tragedy again to hate the enemy. See, this is really simple. The problem is the world is so perverted anymore, we almost don't even have a clue what holy really is. And we have such a watered-down version of Christianity in America that we actually think if we go up for an altar call and live a life a little bit better than the unbeliever, we're okay. Holiness is something. Okay, let me say, you can't make anything go away with human effort. Because you don't need any human effort. You just need to agree with God and ask the Holy Spirit to set you free. It's that easy. If you're high-minded and think you have to do it, though, you're going to still struggle with it. Well, this is going fast tonight. Okay. You need to really look at this lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we talked about a really good tape for this. I don't know if it's out yet, but it was the one called... What was it called, Karen? Where's Karen? Is she around? Self-indulgence. The teaching called self-indulgence is so powerful on this. Because that's delighting in the flesh. And you get the desires of the flesh, which will bring death. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart or your spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be given to you to take care of your flesh. Everything will be given to you to take care of everything you need in life. It's about God first. Look at this. You know, see, there are people throughout history who couldn't even understand, probably our grandparents, people being lovers of pleasure rather than God. They couldn't even understand people living for leisure and pleasure. I do think after this economic crisis, I don't know if it'll ever go away, but as more and more people have more and more time because they're not employed, I have a feeling people are going to actually want to be able to work. That's how it is in the Philippines, isn't it? If you go over there and offer a job, you will have a long, long line of people wanting that job. you find out that having nothing to do and just living for pleasure is very unfulfilling. All right, there's a whole teaching on that. I encourage you, any of these you need, get it. All right, listen to this one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. This can be self-righteousness. This can be doctrines and people in the church who have a form of godliness, but they don't understand the cross. They don't understand the power of deliverance. They don't understand the Holy Spirit and how he brings all this to pass in our life. This could also be the charismatic counterfeit, I call it, where people are lovers of self, lover of pleasure, all that list, and they see someone who has a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whether it's speaking in tongues, shaking, manifestings and signs and wonders, whatever it is, hollering, dancing, whatever it is, and they say, oh, if I could just have that, I would be okay. I would be spiritual. And then they get the form of godliness without it coming from the power of God. And that's all over the church today. That's all over the church today. And so he's saying in the last days, you're going to see that. You're going to see this form of godliness. It looks godly. It seems spiritual, but it denies the power of the cross. It denies the power of the Holy Spirit. It denies the power of God. It lacks the true power of the love of God. All right, and we have a lot of teaching on that too. All right, so even turn away from these. Now, I'm not going to get into all the rest of this. It goes on. Let me just read this next part. For of these are those creeping into houses, leading silly women captive, the ones having been heaped with sins, being led away by various lusts, always learning but never being able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. So part of this whole personality that you see here that we're being warned about in the last days is someone who has this lack of fruit, all of this perversion, all of this self-love, all of this pride, all of this high-mindedness, all of this haughtiness, all of this everything being about them. And then they have a form of godliness or some kind of spirituality without the true power of Christ. And they find people that they can just come in. It calls silly women. If you look at that, it's silly. It's kind of just people who are really foolish or hurt or just so wounded, just looking for someone who wants to be loved or wants to be protected by them. And it says these people, and I believe there's talking about that resume, so to speak, of that personality. These people have so much sin and so much lust. Now, they're always learning. They're going from conference to conference. They can be in church services. They can look really spiritual, but they never get to it, folks. They never get to the truth. These would be the same ones, I believe, that Jesus says, away from me, you work of iniquity. I don't know you. They're like, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do these spiritual things? And Jesus doesn't say if they did them or not. You know, there is a scripture where the sons of Sceva are really casting out demons, but they don't know Jesus. So you might fool a few devils if you use the name of the Lord. I think sometimes these people are delusional. I meet people, you see these big claims of this was healed and that was happened, and you go and the person's back in the wheelchair, this isn't happening, it's all puffed up hype. But they would still leave thinking, boy, look what we did. And the Bible says that these people, to me, this is one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible, that people who think they're prophesying, think they're casting out demons, think they're healing people, will stand before the Lord and start to brag to him about what they've done. And he will look at them and say, you work of iniquity. In other words, you are a sinner just like your forefathers. And you are actively participating in wickedness and sin. I don't know you. I want you to hear something, and I want you to hear it good. People who are not being changed into the likeness of Christ and the character of Christ and the holiness of Christ. Now, it is a process for many of us, for all of us probably. And so don't throw everybody out. There's weeds and tares. They look alike. But the bottom line is anyone really walking with God will becoming more humble, will becoming more dependent upon God, will becoming less self-absorbed, will becoming more holy. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when they go from meeting to meeting and teaching to teaching and watch DVD after DVD, they are changing into the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit is working. There's something going on there that's real. All right. Is everybody having fun yet? Yay, fun. All right. We read this Friday night, but it just talks about if you keep following, you'll see their doctrine's wrong, their conduct. Anyway, he just goes on and he says, in the last days, we talked about this Friday night, you're going to see this more and more. I don't know about you. I kind of do. I don't want to be one of those people who's self-deceived. I don't want to be one of those people with a form of godliness without the power of God. What's the power of God? His love. I don't want any of this stuff in my heart. I don't want to have to be casting down imaginations my entire Christian walk because I just don't get rid of that erotic thing and let it be taken out of my heart. I believe in a God. If God can heal, and I know he can, he healed Deborah of cancer. He healed Norman of AIDS. Let's see, he healed Jordan, wherever Jordan is, of depression. He healed my son of liver, permanent, supposedly, but not liver, lung, and brain damage. He's healed so many people. Supernaturally, he's a healing God. I believe that same healing God can easily, not only set me free from any of this stuff and anything else that Satan has brought into my life because of the iniquity of my forefathers, which means the sins of my parents and my grandparents and so on. But I also believe not only can he take that out of me, I believe he can heal my mind. I believe he can get my thoughts pure. I believe when it's gone, it's gone.